Would you turn back to Luke, the sixth chapter. I'd like to read verses 27 through 38 of Luke chapter 6. I've entitled this message, A Higher Calling. A Higher Calling. Let's begin reading in verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much as again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. A higher calling. Now, did you notice in that verse I read at the opening of this service where the Lord said, what do ye more than others? What do ye more than others? The fact of the matter is, if I am a believer, if I have been saved by His grace, if I have been born from above, if I've been made to differ, I ought to do more than others. Isn't that so? A higher calling. To whom much has been given, much is required. Now look at verse 32 again of Luke chapter 6. For if you love them that love you, what thank have ye? Now that word thank is the word that's generally translated grace. What the Lord is saying is, is if all you do is love those people who love you, where's their grace in that? Lost people do that. Unbelievers do that. The heathen do that. Grace is a higher calling. This calling, now listen to me real carefully, this calling is to be like God. Look what he says in verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Be like him. Now grace is much more than a doctrine that we stand for. Now, don't anybody take for granted that we don't stand for grace, because we do. Salvation is of the Lord. And somebody that doesn't believe grace, and I'm talking about sovereign grace, I'm talking about that grace that exalts the electing love of the Father and the redeeming work of the Son and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, sovereign grace, saving grace. Somebody doesn't preach at it, I mean preach it clearly, does not preach the gospel. You cannot mess around with this. We stand for the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, sovereign grace is the only kind of grace that saved this sinner. The only hope I have is that God would choose me. The only hope I have is that Christ would die for me and put away my sins. The only hope I have is that God the Holy Spirit would invincibly, irresistibly call me and bring me into the kingdom. The only hope I have that I'll persevere is if he preserves me. Grace is utterly necessary to me. So when I say that grace is more than a doctrine, I'm not in any way taking away from the importance of the doctrine of grace. That being said, grace is much more than a doctrine. Let me show you that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You see, believing grace makes gracious the ones who believe grace. And if the grace I believe has not made me a gracious individual, I don't really believe the grace I say I believe. Now that's just so. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." I want you to know about the grace of God bestowed upon these people. They were solid as a dollar. Not that that's very solid. I guess I shouldn't say that. They were strong five-pointers. He doesn't say anything about that, does he? Look what he says. "I want you to know about the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Their generosity. When he wants to talk about the grace of God bestowed upon these people, he didn't talk about their doctrinal soundness, although indeed they were doctrinally sound. He talked about their liberality, their generosity, what the Lord had done for them. Now, turn back to our text in Luke chapter 6. A higher calling. Verse 27. "But I say unto you, which hear." Now who's he speaking to? Those who hear. Now here's the first part of this higher calling. It's a calling to hear. It's a calling to hear. How many times did the Lord say, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear"? Not everybody has ears to hear. In John chapter 8, verse 47, he said, "He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." Look in Luke chapter 8. Verse 8. The last phrase of verse 8. He gives that statement. "He that hath ears to hear," not everybody does. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." You see, not everybody has these hearing ears. Look in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.' And he said unto them, 'I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. In this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you.'" They were feeling real good about this. Look at the way the Lord's using us. "But rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.' And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, 'Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them.'" Now, I'm not sure, beginning right here, I'm not sure that any of us realize how privileged we are to hear the gospel. Do you realize the great majority of the population of this world has never heard the things that you've heard? God's passed them by. And you and I have been given the privilege of hearing the gospel. And what about the privilege of having a desire to hear the gospel? There are people who've heard the gospel, but they can take it or leave it. They might show up every now and then, but it's not life to them. It's not bread to them. It's not food to them. They can take it or leave it. If you have a desire to hear the gospel, do you desire to hear God's word? Where did that desire come from? How blessed you are. And what a blessing to have some measure of understanding what we hear. What a high calling it is simply to hear. To be a hearer of the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To hear the gospel as good news. Not just news, but good news. Listen to this scripture. Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, the religious fellows, this is a stumbling block. To the Greeks, the intellectual fellows, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called." Not everybody's called. "But unto them which are the called, Christ power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God." Isn't it a high calling to be allowed to hear the gospel? To have the desire to hear the gospel, and to have some understanding of what you're hearing. That's all the gift of God's grace. I want to be a hearer, don't you? "Let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak." Now look at what we're called upon to do. Now we're called upon to hear. Now look what he says in Luke chapter 6. Verse 27, "I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, Forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that takes away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, is this literal? Yes. Yes. Now, this is a high calling, isn't it? This is what our Lord calls every one of us to do and to be. Now, it's a high calling. You think, how in the world can I go about doing this? Well, here's the first thing I want us to think about when I looked at this passage of Scripture. The Lord's not calling us to do anything that He hasn't already done Himself. He exemplified this with me. He loves His enemies. We were by nature enemies. Enemies of the Lord. And He loved us anyway. Do good to them which hate you. This is such a sad commentary on us, but by nature, I've actually been guilty of hating the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that sad? And He did good to me. Oh, He did good to me. So merciful to me. I cursed Him, and He blessed me. He blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gave me all spiritual blessings and all temporal blessings. He prayed for me. He prays for me. He said, regarding those who were crucifying Him, and everybody He prayed for, the Lord heard Him. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He said in John 17:9, I pray for them. He's talking about all of His people. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which You have given me. He turned His other cheek instead of smiting me in return. And He gave me His coat. He gave me His righteousness and clothed me in it. I asked and He gave. I asked Him for mercy. He didn't turn me away. I asked Him for grace. He gave. I asked for acceptance. He gave it to me. Everything I've asked for, He's given me. He fulfilled all this. He didn't treat others according to how they treated Him. But He did this, and this is our rule of life when He says, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And He calls us to do as He did. Now, when our Lord did these things, for instance, this is a wonderful thing to think about. When the Lord took His garments off and girded Himself with that towel and got down on His knees and washed the feet of His disciples, we look at it and think, what an act of condescension. That the Lord would wash my feet. What an act of condescension. But do you know when He did it, He didn't consider it an act of condescension. He didn't. He did it because He loved these people. It wasn't astute for Him. Now when we look at it, it seems as astute, but He didn't think of it that way. Now when I'm called upon to do these things, I'm to do it without seeing it as grievous. It's a blessing. It's a privilege to do that. Not only am I called upon to do what He did, I'm called upon to do it as He did it. Now, here's another thing to remember. He's talking about how we treat people who mistreat us. How we're to treat them. That's what all this passage is about. You know, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and abuse you. Love your enemies. Remember this. All these enemies He's speaking of, who's the first cause behind them? Every single thing. I love to think of when Shimei was cursing David. He was saying, you're a bloody man. He was cursing him when David was coming back. And Joab said, you want me to go take his head off? And David said, no. The Lord said to him, curse David. That's why He's doing it. These enemies, these difficult situations you have, the Lord's placed them there. And they're for your good and for His glory. Somebody thinks, well, what if I need that coat I'm called upon to give? What if it's the only coat I got? I mean, if somebody asks for me for my coat, I'm to give my cloak also. What if I need that stuff? Can you lose by obeying Christ? Is there any way you can be the loser by obeying Christ? I guarantee you, if you give everything you have, you'll be a whole lot better off for it. and so will I. I mean, we can't lose by obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the higher calling we're called to. Look what it says in verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 for a moment when our Lord said this at another time. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, how you want them to treat you, do ye even so to them, even if they don't treat you that way. Do ye so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's the emphasis our Lord puts on this. He says, this is the law and the prophets. Now back to our text. Let's look at the reward of this higher calling. Verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? Where's their grace in that? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, I'll scratch your back and you scratch mine. What thank have you? Where's their grace in that? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Where's their grace in that? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Oh, great shall be your reward. Now, the Lord said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's your reward. And the glorious thing about this reward, He says, great shall be your reward in heaven. It's a reward of grace. It's a reward of free grace. It's not paying you back for services rendered. It's the reward of free and sovereign grace. That's why it can't be enhanced, this reward. It can't get any better than it is. This reward is being saved by His grace. This reward is being clothed in His righteousness. This reward is being perfectly conformed to the image of His Son. And you can't earn a higher reward than that. I hate that doctrine that says you can do something that'll make you a higher place in heaven. That's blasphemous. What would you add what you did to what He's done and somehow that improves it? Why, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Great. Great shall be your reward in heaven. What can you add to being justified and sanctified and glorified and conformed to the image of His Son? Great shall be your reward in heaven. You'll be children of the Highest. You see, this is how God's people are. He said, you'll be children of the Highest. This isn't something to strive to attain. This is how God's children are. Now, look what He says in verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful. Be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father also is merciful. Now, I love the first time that this word merciful is used in Scripture. If you want to understand what the Bible means by being merciful, how God's merciful, how we're to be merciful, turn to Genesis chapter 19. Now, this is where the angels have told Lot to flee out of Sodom. Verse 15. Genesis 19, verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, God said, get out of here. The fire's going to come down. And there's something in Lot that made him want to stay. He looked at the things of Sodom and he didn't want to leave. He lingered. He was troubled at the thought of leaving the city. He lingered. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. Now that's the mercy of God. I mean, you can see where those fellows would have said, all right, stay here. Stay here. If that's what you want, stay here. But oh, the mercy of the Lord. He grabbed him by the hand and he yanked him out. The Lord being merciful. Now that's what God's mercy is. God's mercy is what he's done for you in spite of you. You know that's so, don't you? Now, you be merciful likewise. How can you not be merciful toward somebody when you see the mercy of God toward you? Be ye merciful, therefore, even as your Father which is in heaven is merciful. Verse 37. Here is the law of this higher calling. Now this higher calling is to be like the Lord. It's to be merciful. It's to love your enemies. It's to do good, to lend, hoping for nothing in return. All these things. Is he saying for us to do this literally? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. This is a higher calling, isn't it? It's far above anything this world can understand. It's far above anything this world can lay hold of. But this is the higher calling that every believer is called to. And here are the laws of this higher calling. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Now that passage of Scripture tells me that the Lord is going to measure out my blessings in the basket I bring. If I bring a small basket, I'm going to get small blessing. If I bring a big basket, I'm going to get big blessing. With the same measure you measure out, it'll be measured to you again. And the first thing he talks about is judge not. Judge not. Now you and I know that there are some things we have to judge in. You got to judge and see if what I'm saying is according to Scripture while you listen to me. You're not just supposed to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You're to be like the noble Bereans to search the Scriptures daily whether these things be so. You're to judge what you hear. Try the spirits whether they're of God. You're supposed to test the spirits in that sense. The preachers. You're not just to swallow everything. You got to judge. You know, when the Lord said in Matthew 7, judge not, the next thing he said is, cast not your pearl before swine. You have to make a judgment concerning swine. Who you're to not cast your pearls to. I mean, there's some things we have to judge in. You know, the Lord said, judge righteous judgment. Now, you all know that. This is not saying don't judge at all. Because, you know, if somebody preaches a false gospel, and you say, that's a false gospel. So it says, judge not. Baloney. You're supposed to judge that. That's wrong. That's evil. Somebody's preaching a false gospel, you're supposed to judge that, and you're not being faithful to the Lord if you don't. What's he saying, judge not? You do something, and I say, I wouldn't have done that. Even if what you did was wrong, you do something that is wrong, I know it's wrong. It's forbidden in the Scriptures, and I look at you and I think, I wouldn't have done that. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? That's judging. It's looking down your nose in moral superiority at somebody else. It's a critical and a harsh spirit. Judge not. You see, there's some judgments we better not make. Look what the Lord says down in verse 41 of the same passage of Scripture. He said, why beholdest thou the mote, the little speck that's in thy brother's eye, but you perceive not the beam, the log that's in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! Cast out first the beam of thine own eye, And then shalt thou see clearly, pull out the mote in thy brother's eye. Judge not, and you won't be judged. I don't want to be judged, do you? I don't want to be judged. Well, then judge not. If you judge not, you won't be judged. Let me tell you some things about judging. Anytime I judge you, I'm being a remarkable hypocrite. Romans 2:1 says, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou that judges, for you that judge do the same things. So anything I judge you for, I do the same things and worse. And I'm being such a hypocrite when I do that. Now this is the law of this kingdom. Judge not and you shall not be judged. When I judge, I'm making a judgment when I don't even know the facts. I'm not able to judge. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what precipitated that. I don't know what's behind it. I don't know the facts. And when I render judgment on you, all of a sudden, I pretend to know what I don't really know. You and I aren't even capable of making a judgment. That's why Paul said, judge nothing before the time, till when the Lord will come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Then shall every man have praise of God. But until then, I don't know the facts. I'm incapable of making a judgment. Here's the third problem with judging. If I judge, I'm taking the position that only belongs to God. There's one lawgiver. There's one judge. I'm arrogating to myself a position that belongs to God only. And if I judge you, I'm sticking my nose in business I don't have any business doing. You see, who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. I'm sticking my nose in a place I shouldn't be doing. So judge not, and you won't be judged. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Now the next thing he says is, condemn not, and you won't be condemned. Now this has to do with law, bringing others to law. If you bring somebody to the law, you're going to be brought to the law. Now that's a promise from God. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. I don't want to be brought to the law, do you? I want to be found in Christ. I want to be in grace. I don't want to be brought to the law. He says, now, condemn not, and you won't be condemned. And thirdly, he says in verse 37, forgive. And you shall be forgiven. Do you want to have your sins forgiven? My soul, I do. I want them all to be washed away. I want them to be blotted out. I want all my sins to be forgiven. He says, now you forgive and you'll be forgiven. Now, you know as well as I do that that doesn't mean you'll be forgiven because you forgave. If you're forgiven, it's because Christ died for your sins. That's why you're forgiven. You're not forgiven because you asked for it. You're not forgiven because you cried for it and begged for it. You're not forgiven because you forgive somebody else. You're forgiven because Christ died for your sins. That's so. It's also so that if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. He said that. He said, if you forgive not your brother their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Forgive, if you forgive the way He forgives. And I know it's impossible for us to completely forgive the way He forgives, because He forgives in such a way as when He forgives, He forgets. And the reason He forgets is because there's nothing there to remember. That's what the blood of Christ did. It made it to where there's nothing there to remember. He forgives and forgets. But you forgive, and as the Lord enables you, forget. Don't hold people off. What if the Lord did you that way? That'd be bad, wouldn't it? Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. And then he says in verse 38, give. Here's the fourth law of this kingdom. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now this give, this giving, it means so many things. Yes, give your money. It's all the Lord's anyway. It's to be used for His glory. Give. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Give of your substance. Give of your soul. Give of your heart. Give yourself. It's better to give than to receive, isn't it? It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, he says if you give,
you're going to have all kinds of, I don't know whether that means you'll have more material blessings. You don't give in order to get material blessings. But I tell you this, when people are in a bad state, materially, generally speaking, if you find out the reason, it's because they're not generous. People who are generous, you can't outgive God. You just can't do it. It's not going to happen. He says, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and so on. The basket you bring, the Lord is going to measure out your blessings in that basket. Now that is the rule of this kingdom. I mean, it's a higher calling, isn't it? This is so far above the world. To love your enemies. To turn the other cheek. To give to your coat to the person who takes your cloak. All these things the Lord says. And we're called upon to do these things. And don't you want to do them? I want to be like the Lord in that sense. Well, here's the rule to this. If I follow these rules, I'll do these things. Judge not, you won't be judged. I love the first rule. Because we'll naturally think, well, is so-and-so doing that? Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Now, I want to close with a couple of scriptures. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, the good things and the bad things, the blessings and yesterday's over. I don't mean to forget God's blessings. You know, you always remember God's blessings, but just the bad stuff. Forget it. Forget it. It's not worth thinking about. Forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, there's a lot I want to forget, don't you? I mean, I just flat want to forget it. What a blessing. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a high and heavenly and holy calling. Now would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Back a few pages. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling, that's the word, wherewith you are called. Now this high, heavenly, holy calling, this higher calling that every believer is called to, how do we walk worthy? Verse 2, with all lowliness, humility, and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this is my job. This is my vocation. This is my calling. To walk in all lowliness, meekness, believing that whatever God sends my way, it's right. He's on the throne. Long suffering, patience. God's in control. Forbearing one another. You know what that means? It means putting up with one another. Putting up with one another. If you're going to have a relationship with me, you're going to put up with me. If I'm going to have a relationship with you, I'm going to put up with you. But I'm to view you as God views you, as Christ views you. Not as you are in yourself, but as you are in Christ. That's the real you. The real you is the holy you. It's the gracious you. It's the merciful you. That's every believer. We're to view each other as God views us. How's God view me?
Without sin.
View me that way.
It's real. I'm to view you that way.
It's easy to put up with each other like that, isn't it?
Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
What a higher, it's a higher calling, isn't it?
But don't you love being called in this higher calling? I'm so thankful.
Let's begin where we began being a hearer. To hear the gospel. What a high calling it is to hear the gospel.
Let's pray.